Peace be with you. Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be with you across time and space this morning as we gather for worship with Rosedale United Church. I'm Reverend Roberta Howie, and on behalf of myself and my colleague, Reverend Dr. Kristen Phillipson, along with all of the people that have made this service possible today, we thank you for joining us. This week, we continue with part two of our series, Summer of Psalms, where we look at some of the psalms that have touched our hearts over the years. Some of them have been a cry for justice in a world that sometimes feels that it has none. Some of it have been a celebration of all that God has given us. And some of it is just here as a spirit of comfort, of joy, of hope, so that we can go out into the world. We figured after the past few months, this is an appropriate response. With all of that in mind, I invite you to center yourselves as we gather for our opening prayer.
Good morning, everyone. I'm sitting in the spot where I go to find peace and solace, my back porch. I invite us into a time of prayer. The wonders of God's abundant creation call out to us. We marvel at the magnificence of God. Yet God entrusted all this to our stewardship. We marvel at the immensity of God's trust in us. God has given us all that we need to live abundantly, joyfully, generously. We come to worship Creator and Lover of us all. God of the mountains and the seas, of dry land and living waters, may we always look to you, where your Spirit leads us in truth. May we always notice you, where hope does not disappoint us, because we know that your love has been poured out over all. Amen.
As it is in heaven.
As we gather together for our Sunday worship, we also gather and acknowledge that the land that Rosedale United Church rests upon and the community around it is on the traditional home of the Huron-Wendat, the Seneca, and most recently, the Mississaugas of the New Credit River. We give thanks for all who have tended to this land and all upon it, and continue to strive to make the community one of peace and justice. Rosedale United Church is also proud to be an affirming congregation, one where all are accepted, affirmed, and embraced, including their gender identities, their sexualities, their orientations, and their family makeup. All are welcome here. Our psalm for this week is Psalm 65, and much like last week, we are using the translation written by Nan Merrill. It is a translation that's not accurate in terms of language to language, but it still speaks heart to heart. Praise belongs to you, O indwelling beloved, and to you we commit our lives, to you who hear our prayers. To you we come when we go astray, when our transgressions fill us with guilt, you do forgive us. Blessed are those who draw near to you, those who dwell in your heart. Awaken us to your kindness. Enter into the sacred chapel of our heart. Through pain and suffering, your presence sustains us. O merciful one, our comforter, you, the hope of all the earth to distant shores that bring us home. By your light, the foundations were created, being guided by love. You still the roaring of the seas, the tumult of the peoples, so that all who dwell, even at earth's outer bounds, recognize and reverence you. At the rise of each morning and as the sun sets at night, the people bow their heads in reverent gratitude. You visited the earth and slaked our thirst, offering living streams of water. You fed the hungry and taught of love's way. Your watered, hardened souls filled with stone and weeds, softening them with kindness and blessing their growth. You crowned your years with abandonment, inviting all to eternal life. In the desert, flowers come forth. The pastures flourish with fruits and grain. Creation's diversity is glorious. May all people honor these gifts with joyful song while walking the path of love. The Spirit always welcomes the reading of wisdom. Thanks be to God.
It's a song of praise to the Maker. The thrush sings high in the tree. It's a song of praise to the Maker. The gray whale sings. It's a hymn of love to the lover. The bumblebee hums along. It's a hymn of love to the lover. The summer breeze joins the song. It's the chorus of all creation. Sung by all living things.
I got my undergrad degree at U of T, studying English and history. I absolutely loved it. Each book and short story and poem was another chance to read amazing works and debate nuances and context. We would sometimes spend hours at a time taking an author and taking their work, something that they have written over years of training and refinement and editing, and tore it up like a toddler with a piñata. We would ask ourselves very serious questions, like why did the character drive an orange Mustang as opposed to a yellow Mustang or possibly some form of motorcycle? What did the author really mean by red door? Was it just a red door, or was it about their struggles with death and sorrow and joy? For the god in this story, is this god the author? Is it the reader? Is god in this story the author's dog? We would dissect classics and contemporaries alike. Nothing was off limits. Looking for any detail or clue that can get to the author's real meaning. Often, stories and poems are used with a deeper meaning involved. Children's fables, for example, serve as lessons to kids everywhere to eat your vegetables, listen to your parents, and do not break into houses where bears live. Stories like The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, which serve as allegories for Christianity, or Margaret Atwood's The Edible Woman, which creates a story of struggle, of one woman's experience with a refined and repressed society, and how that relates to women everywhere at the time, and the not-so-subtle works, like 1984, and The Giving Tree, that are clear that they must ask us, as readers, to find deeper meaning. Then, we get to the Psalms. How do we even work with the Psalms? What's the best way for us to dive in and approach the Psalms? Do we approach them like historians and try to find the contextual clues of who wrote it and when and whether they were a ruler or whether they were a scholar and who was at war with whom at the time? Would that help us find what we're looking for? How about being a biblical scholar? Looking at the translations, maybe if we get to the right translation, the most accurate translation, we'll be able to find the hidden meaning of a psalm. There's room for that. And indeed, I implore any scholar to dive for those meanings. But sometimes, as a red door is just a red door, a psalm is just a psalm. And it speaks to us on a level that is visceral and deep. Today's psalm is no different. It's one that I read, and I know that there's other meanings. I know there's deeper meanings. But also, it just feels right. It sits on my soul and says, yes, this fits a piece that was missing. It speaks of a creator that is near us all the time, through the good and the bad. It speaks of loss and of love. It speaks of the human condition. Whether it was written 2,500 years ago or last Wednesday, the meaning, the deeper text, is the same. It might come as no surprise to everyone that I'm a bit of a romantic. I do love my practical to-do lists and giving my step-by-step procedures, but I do love romance. In every sense of the word. I love a happy ending. I am a sucker for just going out and taking in God's beauty. But it's been a while since I've done that. We've been kind of busy in this world, taking care of some of the basics, making sure that people have clean food and clean water and a safe place to call home. So it's been a while. I was thinking of that a couple weeks ago, because in the middle of my reminiscing and my ruminating and my planning for the following days, the power went out across St. Jamestown. I heard the power went out in Rosedale as well, along with neighborhoods across the city. It's at that point that you realize just how much of your life depends on electricity, especially as the sun has left. There's really nothing left I can do. My books require light. Everything else required internet of some sort. I could not even make a cup of tea. So I just decided to go out onto the balcony and see what I could see. It had been another long day. Another news cycle that ended with violence and illness and more struggles in the world for all. Another evening where we would break out our calendars and cross off events that were canceled because of the pandemic. Another day where we were signing petitions or keeping an eye on which politicians were going to call in the morning. Another day, another milestone. This is the problem of the past few months, amongst everything else. Yes, there's major markers in the past little while of events that have hurt us and scarred us deeply and permanently. But a lot of it is just the little pebbles in our shoe, grinding us down day after day as we figure out how long can we keep going. We know generations have done this before. This is nothing new. Pandemics are nothing new. Civil unrest is nothing new. Calling out systems of racism and transphobia and anti-poverty systems gone horribly awry, that's not new, but that doesn't make it any less tiring, any less painful. Like the pebble in your shoe, it turns slowly into a much bigger boulder than you think can fit in your shoe. But there we are. It's an extra degree of heat in the pot. It's the buzzing that's in our ears. It's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but it drags on and on. And so I sat last week wondering how long we can handle this. And then the power went out. When God wants you to turn off the internet and go outside, God is not subtle. There was darkness and silence. The hum of the air conditioner disappeared. The internet modem died. My oven light and clock flickered out. Everything went dark. Everything went quiet. After being reassured that it's not a building problem, it's a neighborhood problem, I went outside to the balcony. I saw my neighbors doing the same. candles lit weary faces. We were too tired to chat, to gossip. All we can do is just look around at each other, look around at the city around us. Just sit in silence in a neighborhood that has not heard silence in years. You know what's weird? Hearing crickets in the middle of downtown Toronto. You don't hear them very often because other things like the noise of the city and the movement keep them from coming around. But we watched and heard crickets. We looked at the dogs that were running around the off-leash park with only the moonlight following them. We listened to everything. We listened to nothing at all. We listened to God's creation. God's creation, this whole planet, is beautiful. I have seen deserts and oceans, climbed mountains and driven over valleys, ridden horses and seen whales. I've been stung by the humble bumblebee. I have forgiven the humble bumblebee. This 4-hour respite from TV and internet and all things that end up being a distraction, end up being a screen between me and the real world, meant that I was reminded of what I was missing. It was a reminder of what I needed. It was a reminder of why any of us are doing any of this. Psalms like this one serve as a reminder of why we bother with anything that we do in life, why we bother struggling, fighting for justice for those that have none. We do it because God's creation is beautiful, and it deserves that chance, and it's worth it. Why do we bother living together in hopeful harmony, but often clashing a little bit? Because it's worth it. Because God's creation is beautiful. Why do we bother loving when we could easily pack this all up, move far away from friends and family, and live as hermits in the middle of the woods? Because loving is worth it, even when it hurts to lose the ones we love. Loving is worth it. Caring for others requires that work, requires that risk. And it's absolutely worth it in the end, because God's creation is beautiful. It's worth the struggle. It's worth the risk of being hurt. It's worth it all, because every point of beauty is worth 10 points of struggling. There is unlimited beauty in this world, unlimited love, because it's not just that God created this world. God created you and me with ample sources of love, the ability to care for each other. And so this psalm is a reminder. Why bother? Because we're all worth it. Reminded of that, I went back inside, appreciated the darkness, said thank you to the silence, and enjoyed the respite, for tomorrow was coming again. This psalm has hundreds of other meanings that can be picked out and nuanced. But the one that I'm sitting with right now, the one that we do not need to dig very far for, the one that I think that responds best to where we are today, is that this is why we get up in the morning. This is why we're doing it. For every creature, great and small, the good God made them all. Amen.
There are children raised in sorrow on a scorched and barren plain. There are children raised beneath the golden sun. There are children of the water, children of the sand, and they cry out to the universe, their voices raised as one. I wanna live, I wanna grow, I wanna see, I wanna know, I wanna share what I can give, I wanna be. The breaching of a whale? Have you watched the dolphins frolic in the foam? Have you heard the song the humpback hears 500 miles away, telling tales of ancient history, of passages and home? I wanna live, I wanna grow, I wanna see. Standing all together, face to face and arm in arm, we are standing on the threshold of a dream. No more hunger, no more killing, no more wasting life away. It is simply an idea, and I know its time has come. I wanna live, I wanna grow, I wanna see, I wanna know, I wanna share what I can give, I wanna be, I wanna live, I wanna grow, I wanna see.